What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Disruptors in the Culture. I am your co-host, Joshua Meekins, and I'm joined here by my fantastic co-host, Amira Smith. And today we have a group of people that are fantastic in their own way, and I'm going to let Amira Smith do their fantastic introduction.
Like we always do, we speak with people who we feel like are disrupting culture, and our guest today, I can personally say I'm a huge fan of theirs. We have the women from Around the Way Curls. We have Antoinette and Shanti.
Hey, happy to be here.
Listen, like, I think if they know our pod, they definitely know your pod. Like, you guys are a successful pod as far as, and I'm concerned, because I see the community that's built around the Way Curls, right? You guys recently, we all did the Roots Picnic, same day. We did Saturday, June 4th, and that was a unique experience. You know what I mean? Was that you guys' first time doing a festival?
First time doing first a live, show. Yeah.
Wow. Live festival and a live show. Yeah.
That was our first live show, too.
Oh, and, see? Look at that.
Kind of cherries
together, y'all.
Yeah, exactly.
Hot that cherry.
Thank you.
So, Around the Way Curls, like, everyone who knows, if you don't know, they are a show that, give you guys a tagline, because I always crack up laughing. You're like, we talk about everything from love and light to, what is it, money and dicks.
Because duality is a thing,
right?
The profound and the profane, yes.
Listen, and what makes you guys unique is that there's so many pods right now. There's a lot, like, the market is saturated. And Shanti, you were one of the people that I, like, first people that I personally knew who had a pod that when I listened, I was like, oh, this is more than interesting. It drew you in because it's a take on two best friends. And, like, how long have you guys known each other? Well, women known each other.
We've known each other since high school. We've known of each other since high school. And the relationship really formed after we graduated.
She always has to make that distinction that we weren't super close to high school.
So y'all had beef? Yeah, we got like rivals.
We didn't have beef at all. She came to our school. Someone in our group and like our, we were a bit cliquish. Mm-hmm. We, like, there were four girls and we were a squad, and she went to grade school with one of the girls. So when she came to high school, when you come to any school junior year and you weren't really there when all the cliques established, yeah, it's hard for you. And Shanti was also kind of like a lone wolf kind of vibe. Like, she just kind of fit in wherever she went. So, like, she'd come and chill at the table. We'd be like, oh, okay, cool. That girl is, she's cool. And then she would go off and do her own thing. And then I just started stalking her after school. I was just like, all my girlfriends went off to two schools or were traveling and doing their thing. And I took a year to actually work and, like, get my money up before I went to college. And Shanti happened to still be in Philly as well. And unlike me, I'm really not like this. And I was working close to her home. I knew that she lived there because we all left to go to the prom from your house. And I just started reaching out to her and stalking her. And she was like, who? Why are you calling me? And I just kept being persistent, like, hi, be my friend.
That's
and
crazy. I always thought, because of y'all chemistry, I thought that y'all were like childhood friends. Like, this is like,
I mean,
a,
that's childhood.
We
child.
Were childish.
I mean,
doing childish.
It was doing childish things.
What parts of Philly y'all from?
I'm from Germantown.
Yeah, for Roxboro.
Yeah, and he's the only lone wolf.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, listen.
It's you know what? We're going to get into that when y'all come
that's,
on our podcast.
That's fine. Ain't nothing wrong with Jersey.
I got time.
Right? A lot wrong with Jersey.
It's a great place. I always say it's your favorite person's favorite place.
No, it's not. It's just a place you drive through between Philly and New York. Shout out to the shore.
Like, with the two of you guys, and well, women, your chemistry, you guys have really built a community. Mm-hmm. And I see it, especially on social media. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I guess the tagline is, you know, two biracial women who were friends. You both have white moms.
And it's our white moms.
You know, it's funny because it's, I guess that's like a unique experience, right?
Yes.
Of like, we all got the black mamas and black mamas with all the sayings and everything else.
Yeah.
And then y'all, you know, the white moms, they probably was like, oh, my little baby, what's going on?
No.
No?
No. Not our white
mom. Not my white mom.
She, our white mom is Bad Barbs, and my mom is Rude Jude. That's literally their nickname. They're
edgy, tricky, controversial white women right there. They, no.
Probably
was not
my mom
like a,
is a little more cookie cutter than yours.
Yeah,
Your mom does not play. I was scared of her mom.
Really? And I know you grew up, like, super unique, like, almost like a hippie commune. Mm.
Yes,
yeah,
all of it. Hippie commune, that was definitely within my childhood. Yeah, a fork, We had a Ford at one time.
Like in the house?
In the house. Lived in a van. Lived in Hawaii.
I'm starting to get it. Was born
in Hawaii originally.
Yeah, no. I think when we came to Philly is when my dad was like, yo, fuck this. I need to stop following this wayward white woman around and go back to West Oak Lane to my mama. And then my mom followed him. So once we got to Philly is when it kind of stabilized and the shit didn't get as weird. But no, it was...
And that's probably the outcome because it's like you guys come from woke parents. And that's one thing about your pod is that it's a sisterhood, right? Mm. And then you guys are obviously quote-unquote woke, but you guys are socially conscious and see through a lot of the illusions and bullshit of society. But you also talk about it. And sometimes y'all don't see eye to eye. You're always on the same side, but you may look at it from a different perspective.
You get there differently.
Yeah, and sometimes y'all be arguing. And I see in the community of, like, all the social chatter, people be like, I'm surprised y'all still friends. Y'all was going in on each other. And then they, y'all be like, what? This is unshakable. Like, that's this is for life. Like, how were you in this? Like, okay, so you've been podcasting since, like you said, you started with a blog.
Yes.
And then, and that was 2011, you said.
Yes.
And how did you feel like the reception was with the blog itself?
the reception was great.
Sad. Yeah. That's a sad story. Very sad.
So the original blog was A Curl's Best Friend. That was the name of it. And then we revamped. But the blog was focused on, it was during the natural hair emergence and craze. And so, it really took off. Shanti was doing like some really beautiful like videos and tutorials. And then I was like the fine haired, curly haired girl. And I was like, okay, well, our hair is never going to look like that, but we can try these different things with these wraps and things. And people really gravitated towards us because we talked about hair, but we also talked about coming of age and things like that. And it was doing exceptionally well. Like we were in like Curly Nikki's book and was running around with Urban Bush Babes and Hey Fran Hey and Chescaly and all these people. And then the blog was like hacked.
Oh, no.
We have nothing. It's all gone.
Wow.
There's nothing to show for it. Some YouTube videos still exist.
I'm trying to go back to be like, what did I do with my hair that time?
Wait, so you guys, was this like Tumblr or was it self-contained?
It was its own, it was its own website. It was on housed by WordPress, but it was our WordPress site.
Yeah. Because it's just saying like hey friend, hey. I'm remembering. I'm like because
she
you know the Tumblr days, right?
Yeah,
I was big on Tumblr, but I used to see some of y'all content shared over to Tumblr and things like
we
that.
We had
and I'm
a Tumblr. Like, it was basically Tumblr was like the social media. It was like the Instagram where like you have your website and then you took it over there to promote it so it could be reshared so people could find
it
your
was
website.
The golden year.
But we were there was a point where we were getting close to like almost 100,000 hits a day on that website.
Wow.
Girl, I did not know that. I don't remember those stats. Damn.
You don't look at none of the stats. You can't tell us how many downloads we get now.
At that time, I did. At that time, I was really in the back of the house. But no, it was the glory days.
We were featured on Curly Nikki's very, like, her Bible of a natural hair website every week. She would, like, we had, like, a partnership with her. And she just looked out for us. And she would pull from our site. Because she needed content as well. So it was mutually beneficial. And the amount of people that would come over. And it was, there wasn't a lot of space. Let me correct that. There was space. A lot of the natural hair got tricky because there were people who didn't have my hair texture or her hair texture trying to achieve that. And so it started to feel weird because it was like, wait a minute, not everybody's hair is going to do this. But there was less talk about like the fine hair or like people who you don't have like a ringlet pattern. But I think the real thing was that we had a lot of different hair styles.
Yes.
And so like then we had bows that we were even selling and making by hand. And like we just had a different approach to it. And people gravitated towards it because they also saw our friendship as well there. So they invested in a different way.
So that's where the nucleus, like, so that's where all the business branched out of. Like, what made you guys decide, like, let's do a blog? Was it just talking about your hair? Because sometimes it's hard to go in business with your friend. Or did you even look at it as a business when you first started it?
No. That was her idea. Mm. Go ahead.
I had just had my daughter. I was 23 years old. I was like, fuck, I made a mistake. What am I going to do? I'm a stat now. I felt very trapped.
Yeah.
And so I would be home with her. And at that time, I had stopped straightening my hair and I had so much time on my hands. And I was like, I dipped my toe into this amazing world of natural hair online, on YouTube, all of the blogs. And I remember thinking, I want to start a boutique. I want to start a natural hair boutique. You know Marcia Maine? I wanted to do what Marcia Maine was doing, that it was like hair products and imagery, books, everything catered to women of color so that we didn't have to have the experience that we had when we go to beauty supply stores. And so I was like, oh, in order to like do this, you have to get your name out. So maybe I start a blog and get the thing out. And then I was like, but I should do this with her because our spin, our stories, I just had an inkling like, no, we should do this together. And so I think we were about to go to some event, and I remember sitting down and being like, yo, let's start this blog together.
Well, we had talked about it because you had told me that you were thinking about it, but the back end technical stuff felt intimidating. And I was like, at first the idea was that you would be the face of it and I would be in the background just doing the tech stuff. And that was like how we were operating a little bit. And then you sat down and was like, let's just do this shit together.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right.
And then
we just kept going. And then we got sick of hair. We were like, everybody.
And then life happened too. Yeah, I think just so much stuff. Life happened. Blogs weren't popping the way that they used to be.
The hack happened.
The people that were put on by the natural hair curve, I think we felt some kind of way because we had lost. We didn't catch necessarily that same ride as everyone else. Our trajectory wasn't like Cheskalee's or Hey Fran Hayes. So I think we were feeling salty or just feeling like, damn, we missed that. We missed
Did
out that
feel
opportunity.
Ahead of the curve or a little bit behind it?
Once we stopped nurturing, once again, that consistency stopped.
Yeah, life happened. The consistency happened, stopped, and we didn't catch the wave.
Yeah, because those folks were going to, that's when they started getting the ads. That's when they started realizing like, oh, this is a business.
Yeah.
And they started riding it in a way that we just weren't in those places.
But the beautiful thing about them, and Fran just told me this the other day, the way that they cultivated that was that whenever a company reached out to any one of them, they will all get on a call and talk about what the company offered and whether or not they should take it. Because they were like, it was beautiful. She said they were so transparent about what they were making and what was being offered so that everybody could get a piece of the pie and so that they could start demanding more. Because obviously when things get saturated, it's like the video girl, like nobody pays a video girl anymore. It's exposure. But it's like, because they were on those calls, they really helped.
We were not on those calls.
Right. But and they didn't know us that well, but like that was part of like, oh, and then we fell off. We stopped being as consistent. Life happened. Folks fell in love. Folks got into college and was stressed out. And then it just became this thing that was like, all right, we have it. Yeah. And we just relied on social media to just like, sometimes we would post something and people would stay and be like, we miss y'all. Listen, and that was that.
I think, but you know, they say like, what's for you is for you. Mm-hmm. And like you said, like we got tired of hair after a while. Oof. You guys have built something where it is, to me, it's special because sometimes people, they just attach to the one person, right? Or it's about, it becomes so like people really identify with the Around the Way Curls brand and you two collectively. Usually it's like, oh, I'm a Shanti person or team Antoinette. Yeah. And then the brand itself is like kind of in the background and you keep trying to like put your personal thing to like, hey, bring attention to this. But people love you too, like a whole lot. But how do you feel as Black women in the space of podcasting? Because I feel like no matter what, man, the business side of it,
it's the business.
Because we see some of these pods that are so niche. And they don't always have the community and their deals that they be getting sometimes. Like being honest, like the white pods. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the deals they get, I look and be like, damn. I'm like, what are we
encouraged, if I'm being honest. Mm-hmm. I have the privilege of sharing space with some people, like with the Crystals of the Reed, with like Mandy of Horrible Decisions to See the Thing Is, and Jade of Getting Grown and Jade NXT, like all of these people that are securing these deals, with Fran of, you know, the Friend Zone and Asante and Dustin, and they're doing it And they're also hopping on these calls and creating this information and starting to share the information with me of like, don't do this. Like my girlfriend, Mandy, is creating a hub for Black creatives. She just started, started her own full court studios for podcasters, for Black podcasters. Everybody in there is a person of color working. All of the creatives are in there, from the person doing the video, from the, and so she's also reaching out and producing podcasts for people and making sure people get guaranteed minimums, making sure that, like, she's so interested in sharing the information so that, because she's like, there's money. Like, these networks have money. And I want Black people paid. So I currently feel really encouraged, but I do in the, like, there are times when I'm like, yo, we have the numbers, we have the content. And even if this podcast has more numbers, they don't have our content, and they don't have, like, I feel like when people come to Around the Way Curls, they stay like they're invested. And like you said, like the community is really important to us. And I don't think that, I don't necessarily know that that exists. I think a lot of people listen to some podcasts to hate certain people or to hear the toxic take or to like argue about it. And like people come here to like, they feel like friends. So I choose to be encouraged, I guess.
I think it's what your allegiance or what your main goal and focus is as a pod, as a creator. What is your allegiance to? Is it to the content or is it to the end you want to be put on? Because if you want to be put on, you're bound to have to sacrifice in some way or tweak your authenticity because you're following this template or this template that you think you have to follow, but...
But you definitely want to get paid too.
You definitely said, how hard is it? You're going to be paid, but you know, if you're doing it to get paid and your content is getting tweaked or is created to get paid, for me personally, that feels like
that is tricky.
It gets, you can sacrifice and you, it could blow up in your face.
But how do you walk that line? Because I think we are all similarly in that space.
We don't know.
You know what I mean?
We're trying to figure it out.
I think we're figuring it out.
I think check
in our differences. Our differences.
Because I think we check in so much. Like we'll check in on like, I never want to do an episode. Like I've recently had these hot takes, these unpopular opinions, and I really met them, all of them. I didn't want to curse. I was about to say a curse word.
I mean,
Okay, but I really met all those, but I don't ever want to do that just to be provocative.
Yeah. Yes.
Me and Josh talk about that a lot. There's so many pods that they only do hot takes.
Oh, and it's just to be provocative or just say stuff that's like, what? But we check in a lot. It's like a real relation. Like, we're in a relationship where we're like, how are you feeling? What did you think about this? All right, like, after this, we're going to meet for a little bit, grab dinner, plot next steps, and, like, keep pushing. But I think you also have to meet and be like, are we still on the path? Are we still doing this? Like, is our mission and vision still
intact?
Like
a purpose check-in.
Yeah. Because that can get lost along the way with money. When them,
it gets... what's his name? Desus and Mero? No.
Don't upset me. I'm grieving.
It's hard. It's but wild out here.
I know that they ended, but I didn't know that it was like drama or...
I have no... I don't know. They've really not said it.
Somebody says because I think it's of a best manager. That way, though.
Wow.
That a manager, their allegiance to a manager or one person I'm fucking with. Excuse me. Are we cursing?
Yeah.
One
person
I'm messing with the manager, the other person wanting to, you know, being loyal to the manager caused a rift.
Things happen.
But that don't just cause a rift. I'm telling you, there must
have been.
That was
a slow buildup. It had to have been.
And I don't know, from what I understand, we don't have to talk about this, but I don't know if they had the basis of their podcast was friendship. I feel like it was, we have this chemistry, let's build this thing together. I don't know if they were friends first.
They were in summer school together and didn't really know each other and then realized that they were both funny on Twitter and reconnected. And then, they started the podcast and it just took off.
It was a business venture anyway.
That's always hard, like the culture of hot takes and trying to go viral, because you know, once you get that hot
take,
might end up on Shade Room or whatever, but sometimes it could be unnecessary attention, and it's like lightning in a bottle. Like you said, it doesn't mean people are going to come back. But with y'all show, I don't even remember how the awareness came, but like I think I might have saw it from Shanti's Insta, which you're not even on Insta anymore personally, which that upset me. I ain't gonna lie.
Same, but I'll shut
like,
up.
I was like, wait a minute. And I went to DM you about something because I didn't even have your number then. And I was like, where'd she go?
Go
and on. I was like, come on.
I said, dang.
Shanti will not play this game with us.
I feel very deeply with Kendrick, Lucy. I don't want the power of Lucy to get me. I'm trying to, like...
But she's on Instagram all the fucking time.
I'm on Instagram for Sable. I want to look for Roundaway Curls.
I would say, because I used to come to Sable. Like, hey, girl, like, dang, where you go? And he's like, I'll be back. And never came back.
You got to take a leave of absence, you know?
Yeah, but the...
three Instagrams.
Yeah, once I first listened to, like, one episode, and I was behind, you know what I mean? So then it just went to the next one, and next one. And I would just be, like, literally just doing dishes or, like... Oh, let me just clean, and I have my earbuds in, and I would be like laughing out loud at some of the stuff. And sometimes I'm like, hell yeah. Like, so you guys, like how they say, like, best friend in someone's head. I think for a lot of women, you guys are the best friend in their head, where they're just like, dang, I feel how she feels. I feel how she feels. But also the friendship, because, yeah, like seeing authentic, well, even when we think about television, authentic female black women friendships.
Mm-hmm.
Insecure brought it back to us, right? But before then, it was like girlfriends, and you know, it's there's not enough like things on TV that feature us that aren't trauma based or
talk about it.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then, when we could find it in a pod or anything else, which you know, at the end of the day, one of my friends who like does like this marketing and everything, he had a post and he was saying like, people don't understand, if you have an Instagram, you're a media company. So like, and I had to think about it, and I said, dang, you really are, because now the demands are like, give us content content. So whether TV show or not, just authentic like friendships among two black women where y'all don't fall apart if there's an argument, where but then you see that you guys really intimately know each other and each other's families, like that's something that's super special. And you guys built business around it. How I guess it's like, when we talk about, you know, how do you define what you do? Do you guys have a clear definition? Like, like let's say, you know, because we talk about, you know, potting is like, some people just do it and then there's money to be made. So if you're talking to a, you know, a sponsor, an advertiser, or going to get it, how do you define it?
I think we're working on that pitch. But
what's so crazy is we absolutely working on are. I mean, that's a conversation that she and I have a lot. I actually reached out to her and was like, yo, when I'm in these rooms now and these people ask me what our podcast is about, I'm like, oh, well, it's money and dick, love and life. It just doesn't come off. So we were like, okay, the profound and the, like, we explore all the space between the profound and the profane, which is a first step.
Yeah.
But I also think there's a more general concept of like, it's a lifestyle kind of coming of age into like your womanhood and into your identity. And like, you get to be a fly on the wall as we get really vulnerable and silly and whatever. But like, you get all of it here. And hopefully you learn something from it. You get more questions than answers.
Yeah.
But like, at least that's how I feel about it. Like, so we're still putting it together in a nice buttoned up elevator pitch.
Yeah. But it's like the exploration of the space between the profane and the profound.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's like, yeah, we're going to talk about, you know, friendship, but we also going to talk about some dick, or we're going to talk about like...
Or on all this, on all the complications of friendship.
Everything in between. So.
I think us being vulnerable too and talking about how... even being in business together is difficult. Like, you had to check me once and she said, I'm tired of talking to you. And every time I talk to you, we're talking about business. Where is our friendship? Like, she had to say that to me. I was like, oh girl, okay. And I remembered like, all right, I need to just start calling her to check in. Yeah. And it gets tricky where I'll say to her, stop, we got to talk about this on the pod. And it makes me feel bad, but I'm like, it's too good, because you can't recreate a moment like that.
No, for sure.
So it is a balance, but we're honest about that, where I think other podcasts are. We're honest when we're like, we're fighting over who's going to edit. Mm. Or like, we're honest about being tired. We're honest about not knowing what the fuck is going on in our lives or being sad.
Listen.
And so I think that's just a really human space to be. And so we just have to figure out those three sentences that summarize that.
I don't make money off of it. But
at the end of the day, it's lifestyle. That's really what it is. But it's not lifestyle in the sense of, there's certain people where it's like, come here, so you can want to be like me. Mm-hmm. It's like ours is more like, come here so you can feel seen and you can feel understood, because we're just as a mess as y'all.
Is that good enough? No, I feel like we need to cut. We got to be more precise.
That was good, though. I mean, I was over here.
We're going to listen back.
We got to listen back right there. Down to a minute. So when we go ask these people for money, we're like, okay.
We got to hit Target up. People come here to be seen. Listen, they come for an authentic experience.
No, and really, I think they come to you too so that they can know it's okay to stop pretending.
To feel safe.
I see y'all, like, I've listened in times where you'd be like, why aren't you talking into your mic? And it's trying to be like, oh,
she'd be way back. Her mic be right here. She's like, yeah, girl. Because I'm like, first of all, your ring light is off. Your mic is all the way over here. You didn't forgot we. She just talking to her friend. I'm like, can you please?
Yes. And I've heard those conversations about, like, oh, editing. And then this. And I used to be like, listen, because people, you know, it's that whole thing of like, we got it together. And just like, in like, it's that we rich, we already doing it. In times where I feel like I've heard episodes where y'all would talk about something that happened and you'd be like, man, I don't know. Maybe I was mad because maybe it was PMS. And they're like, girl, isn't that the, and it goes to that other part where it's like, people can stop pretending and still be okay and be way more relatable, honestly. And it's not a tactic. It's like real. And I think that's how y'all built the community, because people see it.
That's the best compliment.
No, it is. Like, listen, like, there's so many people just, everybody wants to be an expert. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's like, sometimes people literally are an expert on a space.
We are no nothing. That's our favorite word. We are no nothing. We have limited vocabulary and we're figuring it out.
But are brilliant, though. Like, you're both brilliant, but you will be like, hey, but maybe I don't know. Mm-hmm. Or maybe, you know, I feel strongly, but maybe I don't have the information. You know what
I mean? Thank you for listening to this 2-hour episode. Maybe I don't know. See you next week.
But that's
fact,
it's cool.
Check on your own time, because we should.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
I'm so curious to know what constructive criticism could you give us? Like, what could be better? I would love to know.
I would honestly say that I think it's the thing of, like, I only constructive criticism, it probably would be of the business side. Like, I'm not hearing the ads on it and I don't understand why. You know what I mean?
What?
I'm like, these women they got something that's so golden here. And are they? And it's probably because, like, most people know, me and Wallow are like siblings. They aren't siblings. Okay. Like, we've been friends for 21 years or something. And he's always about make that money. And he came into just some research on pods. And then he's always like, you don't know what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, it could be, you know, sometimes he'd be like, Mir, if anybody got some game from me, it should be you. He'd be like, we've built stuff together. Why are you not making more money? And I'd be like, I don't know. Because I'm like the broke friend.
It's the confidence behind stepping into a space and knowing that you have something golden. And asking for what you want. And presenting it like, this is mutually beneficial. And knowing that it is.
And sometimes,
I think we have to get there.
And I think with me, I always, like, I tell you, Josh will tell you, like, anytime I'm in any, I always ask for top rate. Mm-hmm. I'm like, you're going to either tell me no and give
negotiate.
Me a lower price. Like, I just.
How do you deal with the rejection of it if you do get rejection?
I just say, okay, well, then maybe this is not for you. Or they usually just counter.
Yeah,
they
it's never really a
say,
no.
Like, oh, that's above my, you know, it's more than my budget. And I said, well, what's your budget? And then, but it's just, you know, it comes down to kind of like, it sucks, but I know I'm good at, like, I design. There's a lot of things I do, and I'm extremely good, but I'm also lazy. So I just be, and you know, you start doing something, it's all going to be work. It's going to be hard work regardless. So my problem is that I always imagine more work than, I'd be like, oh, that's going to be a lot of work. I don't even know if I want to pursue X, Y, Z.
I see.
But so I ask for the money. They give it to me. And that's great. And I do it. But other times it's like, it's going to take on so much work. But it'd be like, it's all work anyway. So might as well put the business or make the deal. And I guess so it's like, I have the confidence. But sometimes I'm like, I don't want to do it. I want my hours to myself. I want to reclaim my time. I want to do the minimum for the maximum amount of money, right? But so then with Wallow, he'll be like, why you ain't doing more? And I'd be, then my mind wouldn't be like, I don't want to work. Like, I just don't want to do the work, right, part.
Would I don't you think two- you should call that lazy. I think lazy is a cop-out from unexplored things that we, unexplored, valid emotions, desires, resistance against a certain type of energy. I don't think it's late.
Sure. Explain that. Like,
I think I think I've suffered, and I watched a lot of people be like, "Oh, I'm lazy. I'm not." It's, I know I'm not a lazy person. I think that there's something in me that I'm learning how to articulate that resists the
grind.
Mm. That resists grind. Or is not even really in alignment. I haven't really done the work to see, do I really want that?
Yeah.
And why don't I really want that? What do I really want? Am I trying to do a shortcut? Do I think that this work or this money is going to get me to this other thing that I want? And so I think rather than saying I'm lazy, I think it's the work of exploring, like, what is this resistance that I have? Because you're not a lazy person.
Because Oprah, this is a long, long time ago, I heard her say it once. And then I kind of regret it because I used to say this to my son because he's 22 now, but he has internalized it. But Oprah used to say, do not work hard for what you don't really want.
Mm.
And that became like kind of like deep embedded, because sometimes you say, like, you're like, I could do this and you might want me to help you and build this with you, but is that what I really want? Mm. And it turns into a job anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, so like even when like Josh and our boy Tony, like, so they have Mike J Films, and when they were like, we're going to do a podcast, and they was like, Mira, you want to co-host it with us? And I was like, I thought about it and I said, yeah, like, I already work with them on some other stuff, film stuff, and I'm like, sure, you know. But then there's other times where you're like, I don't know if I want to make that like almost like damn near a part-time, full-time. Mm-hmm. But like my son, he internalizes so much that he, you know, and that's the thing about being a mom and people who have like really little kids, sometimes they'll be like in their zone, and I'd be like, you're gonna be surprised, because when that kid is teenage, they're gonna be like, I don't want that. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing you could do to make me want that.
Mm.
I don't want that job, or I don't, that's not what I see for myself. And then you're like, damn, sometimes it kicks me in the butt, because he'd be like, who wants that for their future, you or me?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, damn, you right? You know what I mean? But for you two, I think that's the only criticism, because I love the show, and people tune in to get you two, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, to the friendship, because either they have a friend like one of you, or they wish they had a friend like one of you, or you help them process thoughts, ideas. You help them let their guard down, be vulnerable, because mm-hmm. that's the biggest thing you guys have, is like your intimate friends who don't, y'all don't hide from each other, you yeah. know. And sometimes you have those friendships where you see people and you be like, they lie to each other.
They don't show up fully. Mm-hmm.
They don't show up fully. Themselves. You know, they could have a relationship, something, and they're not being honest about their part and how it transpired. But I look and I kind of think to myself, man, they, like, people should be throwing money at them. And mm-hmm. I think they will. So I'll be thinking about the business part
well,
of
if anybody
what y'all got
has
going
any
on.
Business help, we'll be more than happy to. I think it's starting it. I truly think that for us, it's a matter of getting it down on paper, knowing yeah. what that pitch is, and then just sending it. But I think we have to get it down on paper. And yeah. I think that I am starting to recognize, as I have more conversations with people in this space, that like our numbers are good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was like, wait, our numbers are actually really good. Yeah. Like mm-hmm. that we're actually putting out great content, and that we deserve to be in the space.
Yeah.
Like we deserve to be at the table and in the conversation. I think for a minute, I think what happened with the blog, uh-huh. for me, I think it made me always feel like we were catching up mm. and we hadn't quite arrived yet. And we still haven't, but we're doing well. And like, it's okay to acknowledge that and say like, okay, we can go to people now and ask for this.
Mm-hmm.
That's a whole other imposter syndrome and everything else.
We so talk about just, it all the time
yeah.
too. Yeah.
So it's just, that's really good to hear. That's yeah. really helpful. Truly.
Because that's why I always have imposter syndrome. Yeah. Always. Like, literally, I was at my gig yesterday doing voiceover stuff, and my friend was like, did you send your invoice yet? And I was like, no, because I'm having imposter syndrome. I said, but once it's done, I'm going to have my delusions of grandeur again, mm-hmm. and I'm going to hit them with that invoice. Like, remember you said this? Give me my money, yeah. you know? Because I be delusional sometimes, like, yeah, but that's what makes me ask for it. But doing it, when you make that ask, I be scared.
Even with the Roots Picnic, it was interesting how that came to be, and we were super, super grateful, still are super grateful, but we yeah. should have countered.
Yes. Mm.
We should have countered, and we didn't.
Yeah.
You see what I'm
yeah.
saying? Like, yeah. we should have said, okay, instead of asking what is the pay, this is, here is our rate.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We did not do that.
No, we didn't.
We were so grateful to just, I can't believe they even asked us. Why not? You're fucking from Philly and you have a big podcast. Mm. Like, this makes sense.
Absolutely.
And we didn't view it like that.
And for like festivals and, you know, black women come out. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, like, you know, it don't matter where I travel. I could be on a vacation. I could be with my... There's groups of women who I'll just look and be like, dang, look at them. Like, women travel together. They show a lot... Black women show up for each other and celebrate each other. So they were going to come out to see y'all. Yeah. You know what I mean? Now, the finding the podcast stage, once they got there, but they could find it. You know what I mean? But they're going to show up for you guys. So... Yeah, like y'all got to cut the imposter syndrome part out because y'all are it. Y'all are her. You know what I mean? Like y'all are her. And there's so many people once they, I didn't have times where I would tell my girlfriends like, oh, you listen to this pod. And they listen, they'd be like, oh my God, I love them. And then, you know, when Apple does the work sometimes, they'll be like new episode.
Yeah.
And then you'd be like, okay, well, what am I doing in the dishes?
Let me play.
Or I'm cooking. So let me put it in. And then you go right through it. Now, for some people, if you haven't even seen the pod, you recognize the voices because they were both featured. Well, Antoinette was featured on Jasmine Sullivan's Hotels album under Antoinette's Tale, and then the expanded deluxe version, then came Shanti. How was that? Because I know that kind of is like you're talking about a relationship or something, and even though it's a snippet, how did it feel? Because you're already vulnerable as it is on the pod and everything. And even on Insta, right? And then it's like you're putting yourself in something that, if we're being honest, albums live almost forever, right? Like
that's an album that will live forever.
Yes, we're still listening to old Stevie albums and interludes from A Tribe Called Quest, right? Mm-hmm. You know, and now here you are cemented in this and talking about your business.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I probably had a very different experience from her because Hotels was already huge when you had to record the deluxe. I just realized that, like, oh, that probably felt crazy and, like, super daunting. For me, I was at work, and Jasmine is a part of our group. We all met in high school, and we're just friends. Yeah. Like, we don't... So she hit me one day and was like, she told us that she was back in the studio, but we didn't know that she was putting together this project or what it was about. We just knew she was back in the studio. We don't talk about business or work. We talk about boys and shit like that. Yeah. And so she hit me and was just like, yo, I need you to record some shit. She was like, just send me a voice memo of you talking the shit that you talk about women and their bodies. And I was like, well, what do you mean? Like healing their body, like I didn't know. And she was like, no, like their bodies being their own, you know, like when it comes to sex and stuff. And I was like, oh, all right. And so that was it. I just stepped in a closet of my old job and sent her this. And she was like, expand more on this part. And I was like, okay. And then I did it. And because I mean it, like I mean it with all my heart and soul. And I sent it to her and never asked about it ever again. Like I just thought, I didn't know what she was doing. But I didn't even think that it would ever be on any album. And so, this bitch. So she hits us like 2 years later. It was really that long. Like she had reached out. And I think she had told Amanda, who's also our girlfriend.
Yeah.
I think she told her what she was working on. Because Amanda's was much more personal.
Yeah.
But with me, she was just like, you always talking this shit anyway on Instagram and everything else. I just need you to say it. And I thought she just needed some inspiration or wanted somebody to hear it or was making fun of me to her mom because she does that.
Yeah.
And then her manager hit us up and was like, oh, he needs you to sign this stuff. And I was like, what is this for? And her manager started cracking up. Juju was like, she didn't tell you? We were like, no. And she was like, she has a whole album coming out. She has. And we were like, for real? And... that was it. And then she was like, okay, y'all come. We got to record some. That's how she is. She's like, we got to record some videos. It's just like this little video stuff we're going to do to help promote it. Okay. Like, it was nothing like that. Okay, I'm going to use some of this for the tour. It was like, okay. And then to see the response, I was like, oh, this is great. Like, I was happy that people felt empowered by it because at first I didn't remember what I said. And so I was like, oh, man. I was nervous. I was like, what did I say? What did I say? I'm going through my phone trying to figure it out. I couldn't find it. It was years ago. And so her manager sent it to me and was like, wait, I want you to make sure that you're comfortable, that you approve. And at that point, I'm like, I'm not going to tell this girl.
No.
Like, that would be so annoying. But she just took that from a voice memo from me in a closet.
And so was yours, because it's like, you know, when we get content and we're consuming it, we assume it was, you knew what it was, you were getting, you know what I mean?
So mine was far more informed.
Yours was after the release of Hotels.
But she gave me the topic.
Okay.
She was like, write something about selfish or...
So you knew.
Again, she has this not low pressure thing. And it's your friend asking you. So I was like... And some parts of me wanted to be like, oh no, I don't want everybody to hear. And then I was like, girl. Yeah. So I just wrote up, you know, some old past feelings.
Yeah.
But we should have
in the bathroom, in the memo, similar, just in the bathroom, quiet.
Yeah.
Here you go. She was like, that works. This was like 2 days before it.
Yeah. Wow. She was the last. The way Jasmine works.
Like, girl, she's about stressful. Some selfish ass nigga. I said, say less. You hurt me. Why didn't you? Oh, no.
But that's how she works. Like, it's just like, she had the delay, she had the date that the deluxe was coming out. And I remember she was hitting me up asking me to source, because my homie is Bro's Tale. Yeah. And she was like, can you source some dudes? Like, just, I want to know about when a dude got hurt. I was like, okay. So I sent her a whole bunch of people. And, you know, people picked, and she was like, okay, cool. But, like, her, because she hit me, was like, do you think Shanti would do it? She's so private. I was like, ask her. And it was, like, 2 days before she had to turn everything in.
Wow.
It's ridiculous.
I guess it's the artist's way. Like,
She's...
I concur.
I can't stand it. Neither one of y'all. It gives me anxiety. But we should have known that something was up, because there was a Valentine's Day. Remember that Valentine's Day? That we all spent together. She had invited us, all of us, over her house. She was like, let's get dressed up. It's going to be a girl's day. She's in a whole relationship. So we were like, why do you want to be with us? And she was just like, no, we haven't been together. And then she had these games out where she was asking these kind of intrusive, not intrusive for us, but like, it just wasn't like her. She doesn't talk a lot. She likes to just observe. But she was like engaging us in these games. And I was like, I made fun of her. I said, girl, you didn't cook for us and invited us over your house to source for this goddamn album. That was what she was. She was like, all right, that's a crazy ass story. And she was cracking up. She was like, no, I wanted to see y'all. I said, no. And then you was writing Hotels right after that.
You're like, girl, source inspiration.
I was like, you are not slick. You did not want to see us on Valentine's Day. Don't do that. But
child, the artist way. She needed inspiration. She's like, hi, you know, you need that inspiration.
Shout out to her.
Best way is your friends.
That's how, so proud of her.
After the album, did you feel like it was an uptick in like interest in Around the Way Curls? So people, I guess they, because it's not like they tell
they
you.
She didn't tag Around the Way Curls. There was no Around the Way Curls involved. So like there was, so.
Sure, your personal probably got hit. I didn't have my personal at that time. You probably got.
Yeah,
Amanda true. Definitely got more.
My personal page probably a bit, but not as much as you would think.
Okay.
I more so get a lot more engagement when I'm on different podcasts, believe it or not. That's when my stuff is like uptick. I'm like, oh, actually my engagement came from the viral video. I had a video go viral from a rally. I was at a rally and I posted this video about Black Joy, and like CNN was hitting me up, and like all of these news outlets were hitting me up for it, and I was like, y'all need to relax. And it just went crazy. But for Hotels, not as much as you think. I think people were so happy to hear her that even when it was Antoinette's Tale, they were tagging her and saying thank you. We're so happy to hear you. And I didn't really expect it. And as they should, because it was her, like, again, it was just a random voice memo, and she put it together and packaged it in a way where people could reach it could reach people and they could relate to it.
Yeah, that's something we don't, we see it here and there, like a really fully conceptualized album, like as far as lately. Back in the day, that was standard, but now it's like Hotels, Lemonade. People don't really make concept albums as much anymore. It's all about, I feel like, collabs to then bring more. I guess we see it on social too.
And it doesn't live as long.
Yeah.
I can't remember the last album that I picked up and stayed with and just kept on repeat. Like I couldn't let it go. Maybe Cleo Soul.
Oh, I love her.
Yeah, but like Nothing. I mean, Jasmine album.
I played all old Jasmine stuff still. Like, Yes.
I love hearing that from men.
Reality show. I love that album.
Oh, yeah.
I grew up in an R&B household, so, like, it's all soulful. So Jasmine was, like, early. Sure. Yeah.
I'm begging. I keep putting pressure on her to do a live album.
Yeah, my goodness.
Because if you hear her live, you're like, she like doesn't sing anything the same way twice. And her live performances are just stupid. They're just stupid.
Now she needs a live album. And she's all the greats have live albums.
She's another one that doesn't recognize. I think she's starting to get it. That's why she stayed seated when she won the Grammy. She was like, she called it. She was like, I know what I hear, but I did not hear my name. Like, I just sat there. Her manager and Sweetie was like, called you. And she was like, oh, like it. So she's still one of these people that's just walking around talking about she want to go to Home Goods. We're like, maybe not. Maybe somebody goes for
first
you.
Of all, yeah. Home Goods.
She
girl.
Loves Home Goods. Shout out to Home Goods. But she, like that, like that's the vibe that she's like, she doesn't get it. And I think that now she's starting to realize, like, oh, I can demand more. I can ask for, like, the first time in her life, she stopped the show and asked for them to fix her sound.
Wow.
She has gone through shows where the sound has been terrible. She can't hear herself. She can't this. She never felt confident enough to stop and say, this is what I need. And do it in a loving way.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it wasn't bitchy at all. It was masterful how she did it, but there's something in you where you don't feel like you can do that. Like, bitch, you just won a Grammy. Yeah, stop and get
also,
your sound together.
These people are here to see you. Exactly. Like, so they deserve to be able to hear you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, she... gosh, that's kind of crazy. Like, that's how she don't get it. Like, the Philly folks been waiting for her since she was 12. You know what I mean?
Since The Wiz.
You know what I mean? That voice. And then when she did her song with Missy, then everybody was like, yeah. So it's like, girl, they've been waiting. Don't let these execs tell you, because they'll cause like anything. They try to get the most for the least.
Yeah.
It's like, girl, you Jasmine Sullivan.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, I hope she knows that.
Look.
I'm gonna ask her. She gonna be like, girl, shut up.
Girl, you know you Jasmine Sullivan, right?
Girl,
she gonna be like, get off my phone.
And it's funny because I'm like, did she ever meet Prince? Because I feel like people who got to meet him throughout his life, he was always telling young artists, like,
yeah, he was.
Like, do you know who you are? And like, you're somebody special. And like, stop.
I mean, she walked into rooms and like with Stevie Wonder, and he was like, I love you. And she she can't.
Beyonce
stopped her show and was like, you're one of the greats. Beyonce pulled her backstage during the On the Run tour. I love Beyonce for this. I'll never not love her. And was like, oh, she's going to be there? Get her back here.
Yes.
And told her, get back to work. We need you. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know what happened. I understand that this business is terrible, but we need your voice. Get back to work. I love you. I have unreleased stuff of you. And Jazz said she just stood there and was like, I kept getting lost in her eyes. I was counting her friends. Like, she just plays all day. And she was like, and then Blue came over and was like, Mommy, stop talking to the peasant and talk to me. But that's not how she was. But she was just like, she made it a joke. Yeah. But you could see something had changed in her after that, where she was like, okay, all right, I'm gonna start writing. I'm gonna get back. And like, now look, like, I'm just, it's unbelievable what can happen when you believe in yourself and you believe you belong in the room.
Oh, yeah, like, that's wild. I'm like, you're Jasmine Sullivan. You're one of the great voices of this generation. Like, and one of the greats that, like, you know, there's certain people that it's only a few every so many generations.
Yeah.
Like, girl, now I'm all like, tell her to call Beyonce. Because clearly Beyonce will take her call and be like, Beyonce, I need help.
Girl, Beyonce sent her one of them boxes. She lost her mind. She was like, nobody talked to me
that's
for
on
a
my,
week.
That's on my life
Beyonce
goal list.
Box.
I want to get an Ivy Park. I want a box. Just be like, whoo. It is.
Beyonce,
I ain't gonna lie.
I would just like her to know who I am. If she just be like, oh yeah, that's Amira, I'd be like, oh my God.
You'd be surprised.
I'd be pregnant.
That was my claim to fame. I thought, wow, Beyonce likes Jasmine and she hurt my voice.
For sure.
Beyonce hurt my voice. Yeah. That's all I need.
For sure. Listen, I remember.
Yours too.
Early in, I remember, you know, Jill Scott was always going to be Jill Scott.
Yeah.
Like, you know, no one can stop your go. You are going to be who you are. But I remember that moment when Jay-Z did an article. I think it was either he just retired or something with the XXL. But he did an article, like an interview with XXL, and I remember reading it, and I remember the way the industry, certain people give you a cosign and the way the industry embraces you. And I remember this was a specific interview, and they did the interview in his Maybach,
and they were asking him about things. And they said, who are you listening to right now? And it was two people he named. He said, oh, right now, he said, and this was Jill Scott's first album, and it had just released. Oh, and he was like, oh, my God, my favorite right now is Jill Scott. Who is Jill Scott? He said, honestly, it's on repeat in my in my Maybach, right? And I remember that moment and said, oh, this is different. This is about to be different, right? And then when I read it, and then at the time, he was talking about Andre 3000 because he was like Outkast's new album. He said, and I can't say.
That was Speaker Box and the Love Below?
Yep. Yeah. And he said, I can't say that Big Boy's disc isn't good. He said, but I put in Andre's and I haven't ever got to the second disc. And then it's almost like, boom. But I remember that year, it was either Soul Train Award or one of the awards, and Jill Scott won. And there has to be footage still out there. Jay-Z's the first person that stood up in the audience. He was standing on the aisle, and it was like Jill Scott.
Back when
Scott.
He went to award shows.
Yeah, it was like Jill Scott. And he jumped up because she had to walk past him. And he's standing up, and he's looking over his shoulder like, yes, queen.
But that's so important. Yeah. Like, that's why it's important, like, I'm doing this thing where I'm going online. I'm trying to find different people to collaborate with, different people to just, we have to be each other's community. Absolutely. We have to hold each other up and co-sign each other.
Absolutely.
It's so important. Not that we're Jill Scott or Jay-Z, but in our little world, like that's a huge part. We got to get on those calls and say, what did they offer you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. What did they offer? Okay, yeah. No, we both going to go back and say, this is what it is.
Listen,
you see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Like, and like where we could help each other find momentum of like, look, they saying this and they're looking for this. And I know who's looking for you.
It's
even
important.
If they're not looking for us.
Like, yeah, when you walk into the room, mention these names. Mm-hmm. Co-sign these people. Hey, have you heard of this? Have you heard of this podcast? Have you heard of that podcast? You know this person? She does this. All of that is so important. It's so important.
Yeah. This is extremely important.
And we talk about it a lot more frequently now because Amira's always been like, she's always been like, you have to partner with them at some point. You have to talk to them at some point. So when you reached out, it was natural. You know what I mean? Like it was kind of like we spoke it into existence at one point. So, you know, we've always been big fan of y'all's. And just doing the research.
Yeah, I saw the clips and I was looking at the different podcasts from the roots and I was like, oh, shit. I was like, I like this content. Child, you getting that too. See? But I was just like, oh, I like this content. And I was like, oh, is it cool? Like, I want to reach out. She's like, I know how. Well,
yeah. Right?
That's perfect then. Yeah. So, I'm really happy to be here. Like, it's a privilege because I know that y'all don't just talk to anybody.
Yeah, we're like... It's funny because I always be like, sometimes like we just talk to creatives and people don't often, you know, pods are, it's just a big creative endeavor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you guys are like, we always say we're the most inconsistent pod. We record here and there.
But
and,
consistent,
you know,
with the quality.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because we only care about what's your creative journey. How do you do what you do? What made you want to do what you do? Mm-hmm. And sometimes we think about it like, because people have to see something to be it. Right. And so we've had people in all types of journeys from like, technical fashion designers, where it's not even just the fashion, but the technical stuff for like sportswear to, you know, recording artists. We have all different types of people, but it's like, what makes you want to do it? How did you do it? How do you stay encouraged? How do you stay inspired? Mm-hmm. And you guys have been going strong for a long time, every single week.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's like that in and of itself is, even though we hate the grind, it's a grind. You know what I mean? And staying consistent to your voice. It's like we said, it's like music. Like, people sometimes jump on another wave and then they lose their core audience because then they're like, well, who are you? We didn't even see this. It's not even an era thing. Of like, you know, you've morphed to this. People just, they're in some other thing. But, we like to talk to people that we're interested in and who we are like, dang, like, they really doing their thing. So that's the thing. That's why I'm surprised that those sponsors ain't, like, mowing y'all down because your audience and your community are there.
They hit us up and offer us free products for placement. I'm like, the fuck? No.
Yeah.
I don't need a mop that bad or whatever it is.
Not a mop.
It's like some nail
that's
stuff.
That's a crazy product.
I don't know why I came with a mop, but I'm just like, these things, I'm like, that's not going to pay my rent. That's not going to. And that's not even what we're worth. Don't try me.
You'd be like, I tried to take your hair product to a lot of company and they wouldn't take it as payment.
I'm realizing that even with my friends who are in this space and like full time, no other job, like this is their job.
Yeah.
They're still cold calling. They're still sending, they're hitting people up actively. Like, this is a mutually benefit. Like, hey, we would love the opportunity to collab. And these people are like, oh, okay, cool. That sounds great. We'll get you in touch with blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, so you got to go after it regardless. Yeah. Regardless of how big you are, whatever it is, you have to go after it.
Do y'all mind me speaking something on y'all real quick?
Mm-hmm. Please.
I got to ask permission first. So I'm excited for the spaces that you guys create, if that makes sense. So like one of the things like Amir's been saying, like you guys do a fantastic job, one, creating a community, you know, having the relationship between yourselves and then sharing that with people. But I would love to see like a space, like if somebody would be like, you know, here's a studio, wants you to recruit here all the time, or here's an experience, you know, Around the Way Curls, the experience. I'd be really excited to see what that looks like. Because even we had talked about a little bit more about Roots. And how we said, you know, if DJ, you know, backdrop XYZ, you know, I would have loved to see like what you guys would have brought to that stage energy of your own environment.
Yeah.
So if that opportunity ever knocks. We talked
about, and jokingly, like what a space would look like. It would be like the club on top, the wellness center on the bottom, chicken wings in the cafe, like all these kind of
but
things.
I mean, like,
of like, yeah.
That would be neat. I mean, I feel like in the spaces you guys are in, that would be neat. Some place that people can call home, because
yeah,
I feel like you guys
create
that.
Space for
I love that.
I love
it,
and I could see y'all having something like that at Essence Fest or somewhere.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Speak it.
It's a mecca where people come, and then your community already is there.
Yeah,
and you know what I mean? Because I mean, like Sable Collective, like people who
talk
don't
about
know,
it. What's the Sable Collective?
Yes, Shanti had a retail. It started as retail space, and then it became online space more because of COVID and all the complications of that. And so now you're like you're online, but you do have
lots
like
of at this moment it's just pop-ups.
Okay,
right now, yeah. While I'm trying to figure out if another brick and mortar is what the calling is. But
it's
to
online
speak to
space
that,
too,
like,
though, right?
Yeah,
well,
or if
it's
it makes,
an online boutique as well.
Yeah, no, it's,
but
ever, it's
also
still online.
If it makes sense to even go to brick and mortar with the way things
are
now,
I just think that the experience is really important. Mm. To add to what you were saying, Josh, like it's really important for people to have this in-person energy share between people.
Yeah.
And I do miss that. So I think it's really dope and a good disruption too. Because I also see the template of podcasting now is like, you have your setup. It's a cute setup. You got your blue, purple lights, cute thing.
Yeah.
You do your clip. Mm-hmm. There's the lines there. And then we're sharing that. And it's like, what else? What fresh? What can, that's going to get old
next
really
step?
Fast. Mm-hmm. What is the next thing that I'm more interested in like figuring out or feeling out? But Ashe, to what
I
you
would,
said.
I like that idea. If it's like a live show kind of, look at me. I'm fucking, even if it's a I don't know, we have to be talking about this right now, but even if it's a live show thing, but remember the healing thing that we did with Old Girl, where you, like, if we walked into the space and.
The healing thing?
Child, we did that thing in Harlem or something where we did like yoga and shit. It was
like
a collab.
Yeah.
But even if it was like, that kind of thing where you walk in and maybe you figure out what is your duality. What is the duality of you? What are the both? So what are the yings and the yangs of you? Like if we did something collaborative as community and then at the end we're drinking and having a live show and talking shit. And maybe people are sharing their duality and we're riffing off of that. Like it has to be something more than just like live show, come out. We're going to talk our shit, take pictures afterwards, buy our merch. I'm not interested in that as much.
Yeah.
So we have to figure it out. But that's a great idea.
Yeah. I guess we get into our usual question. Morning routine. What's both of you like? We usually have like the quick stuff. What's the morning routine?
I have a child.
Yeah,
thank God. So she really keeps me on my P's and Q's. We were homeschooling for 2 years, but now she's gonna go back to school. So it's been waking up, and catering to her and doing her thing first, and then I'll like go to the studio and work. But no, I'm not a regimented person. She has been in camp, and so it's opened up a new world. That's something that I do want to return to, where you have that 6 o'clock wake up call. You got to get the kid out the house, and once you're out the house, you know, post up at a cafe, do some 2 hours of work, whatever. But similarly, at any given day, it's a different thing. Yeah. Who knows? You know. It definitely ain't yoga and lemon water.
I am a night owl. Ooh. I will say that I'm up very late. I will text her at 2 something like, hey, I was thinking this. And thank God that doesn't keep her phone in her room, so I'm not waking her up. But my morning routine is terrible. I don't have one. I wake up, I hit snooze a million times, then I open my laptop half dead, and I start my work in my bed, which is so bad. It's so bad. But I have a night routine. Yeah. I do have that, and I have a routine throughout the day. I do have my checklist that I run through. By the time I get out of bed, I have the same tea every day. You know, I have a weekly thing where I'm like, okay, you have to work out at least 4 times a week. Like, I'm starting to do that thing, but I have not figured out how to get myself in the bed. I'll take a piece of gummy and everything. It'll be wired. Like, I feel so creative that I'm doing the clips. I'm doing this. I'm thinking about this, looking at the stats. And it's bad. And I know it is, but it's worked so far.
I mean, if you're not a morning person, you just aren't. And you know what? It's like, y'all still doing the work and it's still working, right?
I want to be that person, though. I do want to be the person that...
You can't fight your phenotype, though. Like, if you're not... Because I'm not a morning person either.
Looks at my plants and stretches.
Mm-mm. Every creative is different. I feel like when people... I feel like a lot of people have to be like, oh, I have to be a morning person. I got to wake up early. I got to do this. Nah, like...
I'm night.
Everyone operates different. Yeah. So, like, that's important. I think even within that, like, how do you, like... Because I know we talked a little bit before, like, how do you keep and maintain balance? And at this point, we've kind of gone through a few different things. But, like, what would you say keeps Antoinette and Shanti? Like, what's that thing that keeps you in everything that you do?
I guess
would it be creative or, like, your work day? Or, yeah.
Yeah.
You go first.
Girl, I was about to say.
I think check-ins are really important for me. And check-ins with myself. And that looks different every other week, depending on how I'm feeling. So it could be like, oh, are you checking in? Are you taking care of your body? Are you eating well? Recently, it's been, how are you spending your time? Mm-hmm. I've been really doing an audit on what I do with my time, because that's really the most valuable currency. And I'm learning that as you get older. But I think this is going to sound so me, but lists. I mean, even if it's lists of like, I just have these random lists written everywhere where they might be dreams of mine. That might be what I need to do on the weekend.
It's writing it down.
Writing it down. Something about putting it to paper.
Definitely.
Solidifies it in a way for me where it feels more tangible. And anytime I write, I'm a project manager by heart. So anytime I write something down, it's a map of how to get it done. It's in a certain order of like, these are the steps, you know? And so that's been really important. And also just like my baths, like just sitting and being still. I'm really trying to get myself to be more in the present and finding different ways to do that. Whether it's riding my bike with no music. Just be silent. Can you be silent and in this moment? And like, I talked to her about it on the podcast, but finding ways where I can be in touch with all my senses and not just sight, but like sight, like how does the wind feel on my face? What are the smells that I'm smelling? Like how to just really be present and ground myself in that, because I'm always so much in the future. Always.
And you can miss all the greatness of
your present. I've been missing so much. So, those things.
Similar. I think I need meandering. I need open space. I need time where I don't have anything to do, because that's when I can connect with my self the best. I think I'm also learning to be more honest with myself and in my relationships. Because I think I think it's so easy for you to get caught up in trajectory, in living out what society thinks you need to be doing in your roles, whether that's in motherhood, whether that's in partnership, romantic and business-wise. There's like this template that we're all tempted to follow that doesn't necessarily align with what you really want. And so I'm trying to learn to be honest about what I want. And tap into that.
And don't want.
And like, be honest about it rather than, you know, getting yourself caught up or hating what you're doing or lying or like having resentment, having contempt. So Yeah, I think the more that I'm in practice of that, the more I feel like I have permission to be my authentic self, and I can figure out what my authentic self is and not feel guilty or like an imposter or like, you know, a liar inauthentic. Mm-hmm. So that shit is hard. It is dumb. It is not fun.
It's not easy.
It's ghetto. Yeah.
Here we are.
So then we always ask this question. We ask people, if you could define, or like, if there was an album or even a song that kind of like defines or is like where you like describes where you are in your life right now.
You always ask this.
Yeah,
I listen to every podcast.
Yeah, I didn't hear that. Oh, yes, I did. I heard on Brandon's. You did ask.
I did hear it. I heard it, but I'm like, oh, they asked this on everyone. Okay.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm stressed.
Oh, you should have been prepared. A song or album that like, you know, you feel like. It's or even if it's your theme for like where you are in your life right now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yo.
We're the worst. Edit this out. Edit this long
read. Most people do kind of stall. And there's some people who stall and they be like, bang. Some people they can't prepare and they be like, is this?
I need to see.
Let me go through my favorites real fast.
Let me see. Cause it might reveal itself.
I would have to think about that. I need a minute. Even I guess maybe
Something that's been speaking to you.
Or a song that has really been speaking to you for you.
I can't listen to this and haven't been listening to this album back to back, but I think Kendrick's new album really resonated with me in his trying to balance work and personal relationships and figure out who he is in all of this. Mm-hmm. And I love him so much. So I think a lot of what he said hit and stuck with me that I'm still unpacking. He kind of like opened up a key or again, in his authenticity, I saw something in myself that I think I've always been ashamed to like share my own like confusion or my own, you know, again, resistance to things. So I would say his new album there's not one song particularly, but yeah, I fuck with that
Morale
one.
And a Big Step
yeah, I fuck with that one.
I don't know, y'all. I really don't.
Y'all should have gave us some time. Y'all should have told us this that. Next time, anxiety. Tell you them ahead of time. People have something.
Sometimes.
What are y'all's? I want to hear what y'all's are.
Oh, good job. Give me time. Queen.
Flip it.
Gosh. And it's funny because we always asking it, but I'm like, well, what would be mine?
That's such a great question.
I really, Badu's music always, I always love her stuff because her and Kendrick to me have a similar vein where they don't, and it reminds me of y'all's show, they never profess to have the answers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're asking a question.
Always.
Like, how you feel
everything
about
everything
about
Badu's stuff always asks
forces
the question.
You to reflect.
Whether it's like, you know, didn't you know I'm trying to decide, or even when
I literally
had
Mama's Gun up.
Really?
But go ahead.
Because I really like Window Seat a lot because she really is just like, I need a moment. I want to get on a plane, have my window seat, and I want to get away from everything, but I still need you to need me. Mm-hmm. I need you to want me. Mm-hmm. It's like that you want that closeness and you want a witness to your life, right? Mm-hmm. But then you also are like, but I do need a break, but still hold space for me, right? And because I always feel this need to like, I used to do a lot to like be seen and be in front in this career. But then it's like I kind of be wanting to hide sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't be feeling like being in front of anything. Like, you know? So
I have my song.
You got yours?
I've actually been singing it lately. But it's I Like the Sunrise by Duke Ellington.
Oh.
And the lyrics, because I love it. I like the sunrise because it brings a new day. I like a new day. It brings new hope, they say. I like the sunrise blazing in the new start. Nighttime is weary, oh, and so am I. But, like, it goes on and on about all the possibilities of what the sunrise is. It's like this new day is here. Again, time.
She's
what are you going to do
she
with this?
Just a light.
Mm. Why? She's no, but I love this. What's crazy is I'm working on this new thing, like this radical acceptance thing with a homie of mine. And he's been really encouraging me he's like, I used to sing. So he's like, sing. Like, you don't, it doesn't have to be perfect. Just fucking sing. Yeah. And so this is the first song that I picked. And so I've been singing it. And it's, I encourage everybody to listen to Ella Fitzgerald sing it and then listen to Frank Sinatra sing it. You just be like, what?
Wait, which version is that?
Huh?
Which version? Who's the one that?
It's by Duke Ellington, okay, Duke, but it's a okay. jazz standard, okay. So everybody sings it, right? Yeah. But those two people in particular, but Ella's version is Ella, but she's not doing too much on it, but it just, it makes you feel hopeful, but you also hear the ache in like the sunrise is here. There's a longing for something. Mm-hmm. You know it's possible and you might not even know what it is, but you just hope that the sun is in your favor. You hope that when the moon comes out, the moon knows who you are. Mm. You know, like you have a sense of belonging in this world. And so I love that song.
And you sing, and but you're like, but girl, like, it's one of those things, me and my son, because my son does music, and we talk about music a lot, and some of the best songs, they're, like, they're sometimes they're not singers. Like, to me, Most Def's Umi Says is a perfect song.
Oh, my, that was my ringtone for so long. Back in the day when ringtones were things?
Yes.
Baby.
It's a perfect song.
It's a perfect song.
And he's not a singer.
And I don't want to hear it sung by a singer.
At all.
I want to hear it like that, because you feel it.
Yes. It was literally a profession of love. And him just saying, like, you know, I get discouraged.
That was a prayer.
It really is. Like, it's a perfect song. And I remember when it came out, everybody loved it. My grandma, my mom, my brothers, me. Then my son, because it's really about, I'm not perfect, but I'm trying. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to make it through life.
And show up.
Yeah. And show up. And it was like a global calling for Black people, I felt like. And it's even him shooting it in Cuba, I thought it was like so intentional of like, I want my people to be free. And but I know I'm not perfect. And I feel like Kendrick's music does that a lot.
Yeah.
Even the one where he was like,
to be free.
Yeah. He's like, I'm going to hit the streets.
Yeah.
He's like, and I'm a protest against all the, you know, police brutality. But then when I look at gang warfare and my neighborhood and the way we handle beef, he's like, I'm a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's like dealing with, like you said, the duality.
He's working. Yeah. He's working through something and letting us in as he does it. Yeah. Did you see the video? I was just telling her about it. Did you see the video of the, there was a security guard at his last concert.
At the Kendrick concert? Crying.
He was crying while Kendrick was performing. I was like, that's how you know your work.
Yeah.
Yes. You're doing some real work.
What's yours?
I was over here thinking about mine, like, oh my God.
I gave you time.
I know I got two. It's crazy because the first is a song, the second is an album. The first is Father Time by Kendrick on his Mr. Brown Big Stepper. Father Time because I'm in a space right now where me and my dad are developing a stronger relationship, which is really cool. It's came out of a little murky space, you know, but we're getting there, and it's making me think about me being a dad, because I'm gonna be a father come November.
Congratulations.
So thank you. So I've been doing so much like thinking about what that space looks like. So every time when I first heard the song, it was crazy. I was in a gym. I started crying in the middle of the gym, and I was like, I gotta go. So I like ran down to the locker room, and like, you know, it was like, wow, this is like powerful. So, you know, texting my dad, got like kind of my thoughts and stuff together, and then every time I hear it now, I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool. Like,
Josh,
you know, he went through his
from
process,
like that. Let's say nuclear family, mom and dad still married, everything.
Yeah.
And so that was one of them things. I'm like, dang, it still be complicated. He's a wonderful family, so it's like,
shout out my fam because they watch. So big shout out to them. And then the album would be Pharrell's first album, In My Mind, because
well,
I feel like.
Know that.
Ooh, you don't?
Not really.
It's a great. Give it a spin. Okay. That was at the point in time, Pharrell had done all that production. You know, like I think it was like 80% or 90% of the songs on radio in 2004 were his beats. But at this point now, it was also like his moment. Like, yeah, I can do this too. So I feel like in the creative space for me, like we just finished a feature film. The podcast is, you know, doing relatively well in my opinion. So, and just like I feel like as a creative, as a person, I'm like, yeah, I can do this too. I'm really kind of stepping out on that.
Stepping into
I love that.
Yeah.
And Josh is, as far as film, he's an amazing producer.
Thank you.
And sometimes me pushing him to step into it, like, bro, extra
more like,
money.
You got this. Do what you need to do.
Everybody needs you when they like it. Bro, where you at?
You know what it was? It's like, I spent.
I'm going to send you our little pitch email and be like, help us.
I was going to say that offline. Like, send the pitch because like, I used to work for the film commission here, and it's a nonprofit, and it was really no money, but it had a big title, and it put me in a lot of amazing rooms and spaces.
Got it.
But then
Like, you leaving with, you know, almost $20,000 in debt. Like, how did I? I'm supposed to be making some real money. And then coming.
That nonprofit life different. I was there too, girl.
And then you look
you be
at
like, mission and vision,
set.
My ass.
I'm broke. And you steady pitching for them to get the money.
Yes.
Bringing in revenue in creative ways. So it's like, that's why I know how to package stuff amazing. Right, because it's like, but then you'd be like, this is hurting me. I need a nonprofit to, like, now. I got to do a GoFundMe. Yeah,
what's that mean? Or that, yeah, I got to choose me.
I got to pick me. I got to put me first. Like, so, all right, our last question we always ask is, what does it mean to be a disruptor to you?
Do you want me? You got it?
For me, I think it has to do with your authenticity, right? Because nothing's new under the sun. Like you said, for Around the Way Curls, for us, we show up as ourselves and, you know, fuck shit up with just being ourselves and not even knowing that we're the impact that we're making.
Yeah.
So I think it's definitely connected to authenticity. That's for me.
I think it's authenticity. I also, for me specifically, it's about being as loving as possible in a world full of savages. Everybody want to be a savage. Everybody is really hurt. It's a lot of really hurt people.
Scared people,
angry people. And it's turning into this, like, this I gotta choose me shit and not care or consider anyone else. And I'm not, I think we have to tap back into our humanity. And so my willingness to be as loving as I possibly can and as vulnerable as I can and to trust that and know that, like, you might get hurt a little bit along the way, but, like, your heart will heal, but you'll be able to sleep at night. And so that's my main mission with everything that I'm doing right now. That's what I've determined, is like, I just want people to get back to their humanity and their connectedness to, like, each other. So that's it.
That was a mic drop.
That was a mic drop.
It
was broke early.
That is John on the floor.
Tell everyone if they're familiar with us, they're familiar with y'all. But for people who may not, how do they find you? What spaces? What's your Instagram? Where can they, you know, connect with you guys and stay up to date on Around the Way Curls?
We are Around the Way Curls on all the social media.
Not really. Not on Twitter.
On Instagram. ATWC Curls. ATW Curls.
There you go.
On Twitter.
We drop every... Now we drop seemingly every Monday and Thursday.
Wow.
We're splitting them because both podcasts would get long and I was watching them trail off and not finish. I said, no, we took a lot of time to do this. So we're going to break this up into two so y'all can. But people are really enjoying two times a week things. I'm like, cool. Like, why not? So every Monday and Thursday on all streaming platforms, we have a Patreon, www.patreon.com/aroundthewaycurls. You can see us in all of our glory. And yeah, mostly send a DM, hit us up on IG, and yeah, stay connected. I'm Antoinette was here on IG. Shanti is not here, but the Sable Collective is on IG that you should also follow as well. Her online boutique that is curated and for women of color. Right? Did I get that right?
Almost.
Yeah, I fucked it up.
No,
you should have did it.
It is curated for women of color, and we intentionally source from Black, brown, and women makers.
There you go.
Love it.
Here we go. I mean, listen, now you see exactly why this collab needed to happen.
I really want to thank
you guys for coming on.
Thank
because,
y'all so much.
You know, like I said, I've been a fan for a long time, and I love y'all. Like, I really do. Like, you are needed, and your vulnerability is needed. You are... Like, even the young women and teenagers, like, listening to y'all will help them. We will bring young women who are more compassionate with themselves into the world if people listen to you, you know? So this is another episode of Disruptors in the Culture. Signing off.
Yeah.
You have anything to say, Josh?
Yeah. Follow us at DisruptorsITC on Instagram. And check us out for more episodes. We got a lot of exciting things coming up. So please make sure you check us out. Am I missing anything else, Amir?
Nah, I think you got it.
Yeah, all right, cool. We holla at y'all next time. Peace.
Yay.